Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
In a rare and perhaps the first of its type announcement, President Trump announced that he will send the U.S. military to the Mexican border to protect our nation until that border wall is built. In actuality, it's also being done to prevent an incoming surge of thousands of immigrants bent on challenging U.S. immigration laws and forcing a showdown like Hamas is doing in the Gaza right now with the Israeli military. Now, let's just listen just to 30 seconds here of a clip from what the president said yesterday relative to this decision.
We're in the middle of a crisis on our southern border. The unprecedented surge of illegal migrants from Central America is harming both Mexico and the United States, and I believe the steps we will take, starting right now, will improve the safety in both of our countries. Going to be very, very good for Mexico. A nation without borders is not a nation. Beginning today, the United States of America gets back control of its borders, gets back its borders.
Well, and with that introduction and that announcement by the president yesterday, let me go ahead and welcome you right now to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined by co-host evangelist Dave Kistler and special guest, recurring guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Middle East expert and former Israel reporter, and currently now host of Prophecy Today. On our program today, our general theme is going to be this: storming the borders from Mexico to the Gaza. So, Dave, let me start with you right off here, if we can. I'd like to get your thoughts on that announcement that the president made and just that brief clip that I put there. And I want to go this direction with you. Comment on what he said, but is the president acting on safe moral ground? I'm not asking for constitutional ground right now, but safe moral ground by what he's saying and what he's doing. Is it there? And if so, well, describe that.
Well, Sam, I think it is. And by the way, this is not the first time something like this has been done. Barack Obama did something akin to this, and so did George W. Bush. But here's the deal. If the president is morally going to be faithful to the oath he takes to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and I know you're not asking for a constitutional response, but there is a moral component here, then he has to do what he's doing. There are very nefarious people that are going to come across that border, that already have come across that border. He is 100% correct. If we don't have a guarded, protected border, we do not have a nation. So yes, he is on the highest, in my opinion, of moral ground to do what he did.
Okay. And Dave, I agree with you. And I think he made that statement. You have no nation unless you have a border. And therefore, so anyway, let that sit right there. Jimmy, let me go to you right now, because when I became aware some days ago of clearly what's an organized attempt by these immigrants coming up, being allowed into Mexico, their effect being escorted by Mexican authority, they're being permitted, so they are being escorted, they're protected. When I see the trucks, the semi-trucks that are moving along that have food on them and preparations for these people when they move in and move up. And then I heard some of the officials from Mexico actually use one of the words, something like, it's time we give President Trump some of his own medicine. Then I said, you know what, there's a whole lot more going on here than perhaps meets the eye. And my mind went immediately to Hamas using the Palestinians to challenge Israel's borders. And we're going to get more into detail on Hamas and the Gaza in the next segment. But I'm just kind of curious from your perspective as you look at this. Do you draw any connection here or parallel, or should we just dismiss it as purely coincidental?
Well, I don't believe it's coincidental at all, Sam. I believe it's an absolute as it relates to the world we're living in today. Now, people want to forget about Satan and who he is and how powerful he is. and his legion of evil angels that actually, according to the Bible, take control of political leaders, and they make those political leaders do what Satan wants them to do. Having said that, let me just talk about then the connection. Globalism, internationalism. This is not only a problem with the United States and with Israel, but look at the European Union. Similar things happening there. In fact, even the 28 member states have open borders. They have no borders to protect their own states. That's why the United Kingdom is pulling out. They want to make their exit because they want to be able to control their borders. The European Union has an unbelievable immigration problem. You've got to remember that those Muslims that are coming out of the Middle Eastern countries are mixing in among these immigrants who are going in to these European Union states. And you have some of the EU leaders like Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. She's welcoming this to happen. So we see, and there are also, by the way, some member states of the European Union who are resisting these open borders. That would be Hungary as one example. But it's the spread of Islam. It's ultimately to set up their caliphate. I do believe that all we're seeing going on today, as it relates to borders in particular, is a precursor to Revelation 18, when the Antichrist will be headquartered in a city, the literal city of Babylon. He will control a governmental, economic, political power base from there. He has to have open borders to accomplish that. But prior to that, the Islamic world is going to endeavor to set up their caliphate. They need open borders as well.
Jimmy, I think that's a great commentary you made there. Dave, let me go to you right now, because we've talked on earlier programs. We've had guests on that have told us about the fact that Hamas, the fact that Hezbollah in particular, is very heavily involved in Mexico and the countries below, and they have been for a long time. I look at that and I'm thinking, there's got to be a connection there, and I think Jimmy underscored it. Any thoughts that you might have?
Well, I just think what Jimmy said is spot on. We've got issues, and I think our president understands that we've got problems, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. And Sam, it is incredibly naive at the very least, if not nefariously sinister at the very worst, for people to criticize the president for doing what he should do as the leader of this country, and that is protect our borders, especially understanding the connection Jimmy just made.
And gentlemen, isn't it something when you look at the pictures from the Gaza and what's happening there, you see the picture of Benjamin Netanyahu on signs where people have X's across it and so forth. But there are just as many of them that I've seen on the media that have our president's picture on signs with X's across it. Same as down in Mexico. So very clearly, we have two national leaders, Netanyahu and Trump, who are on one side, and as Jimmy said, you got the globalists on the other, it appears. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we have to keep that in mind as we look at really what's happening. Now, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to go to Israel, to the border of Gaza, where Hamas is using the Palestinians to do effectively what we see about to happen perhaps down here in Mexico. Stay with us as we connect these two pieces together. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, almost like a mirror image to the developing situation on the U.S.-Mexican border, the much larger, the much more dangerous and potentially explosive conflict is in full force on the Israeli-Gaza border. A well-planned interactive effort to force a military response from Israel against the Palestinians, Hamas and their extended network of anti-Israel enemies is developing, it seems, by the day. This six-week-long effort is timed to accompany a countdown to May 14th when the U.S. Embassy is scheduled to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and also the 70th anniversary of Israel. Well, the question is, how much is this effort going to grow? Is it going to accomplish what this group, Hamas, and others want to be accomplished? Who else is going to get involved in this? Is Israel going to be forced into an all-out engagement? Will they, Hamas, be successful in preventing the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem? Well, all of this and more we're going to try and cover in this segment with our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, and somebody who spent, Jimmy, I think, nearly 25 years of your life as a reporter in the Middle East, specifically in Israel. So this is your territory. You know what's there. I just want your overall thoughts here, if I can. What we're witnessing in the Gaza with the thousands of Palestinians engaged, some say 10,000, some say 15, there's numbers all over the place, clearly with embedded Hamas in there, but they're all there to protest Israel's borders, and it's forced the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, into action. Many hundreds have now been wounded, some killed. Israel's trying to really watch what they're doing, but they're being pushed into a really nasty situation. Do you think this effort by Hamas is going to continue to grow, or do you think it's going to fizzle due to the lack of ability to keep the pressure up for 6 weeks? That's really a long time to keep the pressure up like this.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, it's not going to fizzle, and that's what they're prepared for, and that's why they set this plan in motion. It's a propaganda ploy, not only for the fact that they're trying to accomplish their goal and overrun the border crossing and get into the main part of the state of Israel, the location where the Jewish Israelis are living and bringing their families up and serving in their different modes and jobs of operation to make this nation a success. But it's not going to fizzle out. It's an absolute. It is going to build, and that's what they're trying to get it to do. However, on the other side of that coin, there's hardly too many people that are reporting on the issue. I have to honor you and Stand in the Gap today for the fact that you're at least bringing this to the forefront and helping us to understand what's going on. Latest numbers that we have been able to determine, and I'm talking as of today in my contacts in Israel, there have been 18 Palestinians that have been killed, about 1,500 wounded, and last Friday there were estimates, and the Israeli Defense Force would be conservative on their estimates. They said about 30,000 people were gathered there at the border. Now, they were gathered. It was almost a holiday. They do it on Friday, which is their Islamic holy day. They have set up tent cities out there. They're having school. They're going through their worship activities and everything else there at the border. The main protest, as I said, on Friday. So they have these next six Fridays to accomplish their ultimate goal. It's led by Hamas. Now, that's the part of the body politic of the Palestinian people that are in the Gaza Strip. You have two parts of the body politic of the Palestinian people. Hamas, located there in the Gaza Strip, the southwestern corner of the modern-day state of Israel, right there at Egypt's border. And then just above Jerusalem in Ramallah, you have the Fatah organization. That's where the Palestinian Authority is, the so-called governing body of the Palestinian people, and Mahmoud Abbas. Now, this whole plan, this campaign, is going to conclude on Nakba Day. Nakba is the Arabic word, which means disaster. And, of course, they go back to May the 15th. Let me just explain the different dates. May the 14th, they only had a half an hour because it was Friday afternoon. The Shabbat would begin in a half hour after Ben-Gurion stood up there in Independence Hall in Jerusalem, I'm sorry, in Tel Aviv, and announced to the world that they were a state. And then everybody had to run home to observe the Sabbath. The next day, the 15th, is the day marked officially as the beginning of the 70th birthday celebration 70 years ago there in Tel Aviv. So that's why the two different dates. So the Palestinians are going to celebrate it on Saturday, and because that's a Jewish Sabbath, so they're figuring that there not be that much resistance to them. The Israeli Defense Force will not be there. They're really concerned that this spread may go into Judea and Samaria. That's why they're clamping down on the situation. I don't think that's much of a problem. Mahmoud Abbas has basically been rendered inoperative. His late illness report, he's in his 80s. He's not really at the strength he needs to be. So it's all going to be focused right there in Gaza at the border with Israel, with Hamas, the leadership role.
Dr. Jimmy, we know that the stated goal of something and the actual goal of something can be two different things. And the stated goal of the Palestinians with respect to these protests is to do two things. Number one, to prevent the move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And then number two, to try to get Israel to remove this border wall so that the Palestinians can go back to what they consider their homeland. However, what the Palestinians are really doing is protesting Israel's existence. But there are other people and other players involved that have a vested interest in creating conflict in that region as well. What I would love for you to do is talk about the other players. Who are they, and what are they trying to accomplish by fostering conflict there along the border?
Well, Hamas, again, as I stated in the last question, is in charge. Their goal is to put in place Palestine, to get rid of the Jewish state of Israel, and it would be called Palestine, a Palestinian state. Now, as it relates to the possibility that they can make enough protests that President Trump would change his mind about moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I don't think they know President Trump very well. When that man makes a decision, he moves ahead, and it's going to take hell and everything else to shut him down from being able to do that. Their ultimate goal, of course, as I said, to wipe out Israel. Turkey is involved because they have been backing Hamas. In fact, they have been very outspoken as it relates to what the Israelis are doing there at the Gaza border. They're saying it's a massacre. Now, we just mentioned a moment ago, only 18 people have been killed. I'm not belittling life itself. I'm not trying to do that. But when you look at who those were that were killed, 10 of the 18, more than half of them, were Palestinian Hamas terrorists. And they were there for the purpose of wiping out the Jewish state, so they were there to be taken out. They gave their lives, and of course that's a special event in the fighters' lives of an Islamic person. You've got to also remember Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, are infiltrating. Even Hamas is watching the infiltration of Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, and they want to make sure they don't get in there because they have their own plans, but all with the goal to wipe out the Jewish state of Israel. And ultimately, we'll talk about it, I think, in the next segment. But Turkey's Erdogan, he wants to revive his empire. And, of course, that's a part of this whole plan as well.
Well, Jimmy, we're going to get into Turkey in the next segment, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a lot to go over with what's happening there. But, you know, the Palestinians continue to reach out. And Hamas, they've continued to reach out to the U.N., who has been very supportive of a two-state solution, Palestine as a state, and all of that. There have been references to them making appeals and all to the UN. What role are they playing, as far as you know?
Well, the United Nations is working with the Fatah element. That would be Mahmoud Abbas up there in Ramallah, just above Jerusalem. Hamas has never even been to one of the peace conversation tables. They do not want to have a conversation with the Israelis. They don't want the Israelis to be there. They want the state of Israel to be gone. And so they're not much concerned about what the United Nations has to say. By the way, the European Union is playing on this stage as well. So they're eager to see this shut down and not to go into a all-out, full-blessed war. I've got to tell you, Avigdor Lieberman, who's the defense minister of Israel, said, we're not going to back up. We're going to initiate the action. We've been standing by in a defensive mode. We've just been responding to what Hamas is doing. We're going to go into the Gaza Strip. And should they come across those borders, the first act that Avigdor Lieberman is going to give as the defense minister is to go after the leadership of Hamas down in Gaza City. So this could break into a full-fledged war, as we have seen in days past as it relates to the Israelis and Hamas in the Gaza Strip.
Okay, Jim, we've got about less than a minute to go, but conspicuous by its absence was you did not mention Iran. Was that an oversight?
No, Iran is playing a role, but they're in the back seat right now because they have more interest, I believe, at the northern border of Israel. They're with Hezbollah, and they're concerned about what's going on, only to watch what Hamas is doing, as they can play a role so they can have an attack from two different areas in the south and in the north. So they're standing by. They give all the ammunition. They do a lot of training for Hamas. They're connected very much so, but they're more in a background role at this point in time. They're watching very closely. They're statisticians. They're ready to give the order for Hezbollah to come in from the north. That would be Israel under attack from two different locations.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting a great overview of what's happening there in Israel as the borders are being challenged on two sides. Hamas to the south, Hezbollah, which we just talked about, waiting in the wings on the north. Well, also from the north is Turkey. Turkey is making moves to come down and head in that direction. And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about Turkey's President Erdogan and what he is doing. And I'm asking the question, which we'll talk about, is an inevitable U.S. conflict with Turkey underway as we speak there in Syria? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, if you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap today, we just want to thank you for being with us. We try to cover the issues of the day as we are today. Sometimes it's national, sometimes it's international, sometimes it's church-related, sometimes it's purely government-related, sometimes it's family-related. But we try to cover the main issues of the day. If you stay with us and pick us up every day, you will get a good coverage of all that's happening around us, and there is plenty. And if you're enjoying this program, ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you to tell a friend? Very important. If you're on Facebook, take and advance a link to our program, perhaps on Facebook, or give your comments about something that you heard on this program and invite your friends to come and to listen. That's how programs of this type grow. There's so much information that's out there. There's lots of places that you can turn. But if you are appreciating the truth that's biblically grounded and constitutionally consistent and accurate, I would like to say there is no program that's as focused on those issues as what ours is. And so share it with a friend, Twitter it, Facebook it, send emails to your friends, whatever you can do. But spread the word. Spread the word. It's very important. Now, let's go back here now as we continue on our general theme, storming the borders from Mexico to Gaza. We started in Mexico with what's happening there. We were then and went to Hamas challenging the border, the southern border of Israel. We mentioned Hezbollah to the north. Well, also to the north is Turkey. And we got to talk about him right now. So, if you recall, President Erdogan, after the president made his announcement about Jerusalem back in December, convened an emergency meeting, as he called it, of 57 Islamic nations, response being by Erdogan. We need to put together a collective response and oppose what President Trump stated. Well, since that time, much more has happened. He's had other meetings in which he's now called for a unified Islamic army of over 100,000 soldiers, I've heard in one part. But he's saying, look, if we take all these nations and put together the troops and the military, we will overwhelm Israeli defenses. Now, on one hand, that's a great military plan. Doesn't sound good for Israel, but it also sounds like it's an attempt to establish a worldwide caliphate, which we believe to be in the mind of President Erdogan. Well, now Erdogan's on the move. He's now moving troops, or will be soon, into Syria, and it appears with Russian support, purpose to wipe out the Kurdish resistance. However, there's a problem with this. There's a lot of problems with it, but one of them is at this point, unless the American troops, which are situated in that pathway, unless they are removed, and I'm looking at the news right now, and the administration is talking about perhaps moving them out. My guess is that if they move them out, they're trying to avoid a conflict. But if they don't move them out, I'm thinking there has to be a Turkish-American conflict that comes. So I want to bring back in now Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Jimmy, I want you to tell us about what you know about President Erdogan's recent events and his efforts here. And as we've been saying for a long time, this is an ambitious man. My question to you is this: should the world be taking the moves of Turkey and President Erdogan more seriously than what it appears they are doing?
Quick answer to your question is yes, the world must take seriously Tayyip Erdogan. He is a danger to not only the entire Middle East, but ultimately to the world with his ultimate goals. Let's just go back to the last segment just a little bit, because we were talking about Hamas at the Israeli border and wanting to break through that border, go into all of Israel, ultimately to take the state of Israel out as a legitimate state and in its place put Palestine. Very, very interesting statement. By the way, this is called the March of Return. Over in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, it's talking about the Edomites, which would be the Palestinian people of today, saying they are going to return. In fact, you can find billboards, bumper stickers, banners all over the areas for the Palestinian people that says, we have returned, we will return. And the Lord responds to that in Malachi chapter 1, said, well, I'll call your borders the borders of wickedness. Now back to Tayyip Erdogan, who is the only and major nation of this world that's talking about this situation there at the Gaza border with Israel. And in fact, Tayyip Erdogan is calling for the occupiers. I got a response from Prime Minister Netanyahu. He said, occupiers? Who is Tayyip Erdogan calling an occupier when for 400 years they occupied every Arab state in the Middle East? That was the Ottoman Empire. But Tayyip Erdogan is a very dangerous man. His goal to be the pan-Islamic leader is what's really driving him. He wants to revive the Ottoman Empire, to take charge of that whole region of the world. Again, I say 400 years they controlled the Middle East. He wants to be able to move on into Europe. Ultimately, he set up the caliphate. If he's the pan-Islamic leader, he would be the caliph, who would be the one in charge of the caliphate. That's his ultimate goal. So we had better wake up to what he is doing and be aware of how this is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. You just mentioned it. Man, all I could think about when you were introducing the segment, Sam, when he wants to have an Islamic army of 100,000 men, 57 Islamic states to come together. Boy, that's Ezekiel 38 right in your face. Psalm 83 says, we'll wipe Israel off the face of the earth, their name be forgotten forever. Daniel chapter 11. All of these nations in those three passages of Scripture is what Tayyip Erdogan is calling for out the world to take out the Jewish state.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you two questions. You brought up a very interesting point there, Erdogan's designs to recreate and revived Ottoman Empire. And you described the nations mentioned there in Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39. You're exactly correct. Is it possible that when we talk about the rise of the Antichrist in the end time, we sometimes refer to it as a revived Roman Empire, is it possible that it's going to be instead a revived Ottoman Empire? And then I have a second question for you. The president's discussion about taking our troops, you know, 2,000, 4,000, whatever the actual number is, removing them from Syria, is his announced desire to get our troops out quickly, does it have anything to do with what's going on as far as what Erdogan wants to do? Is the president trying to avoid conflict, or what's his motivation for getting our troops out?
David, to respond to your first question, it will not be an antichrist from the Ottoman Empire, a revived Ottoman Empire. Let me tell you why. In the first 6 months of the tribulation period, you mentioned Ezekiel 38 and 39. Starting in Ezekiel 38, verse 18 through chapter 39, verse 6, it talks about five out of every six of the Islamic world, these nations that we're talking about in Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, Daniel chapter 11, these nations are going to be rendered inoperative, and there will only be two peoples around, the Iraqis and the Palestinian people, who have a connection to Islam. And so it's not going to be an antichrist from the revived Ottoman Empire. When you go to Daniel chapter 7, it's the 10 horns on the Roman Empire. When you go to verse 23, they will rule the world. So we're talking about the Antichrist, that little horn in chapter 7, verse 8 of Daniel, coming out of the 10 horns, which would be the revived Roman Empire. Now to the decision by President Trump, and I think he made or retweeted it this morning. They're not going to be long in Syria. I think that is a very, very dangerous move. I've listened to some of the four-star generals who are involved with the broadcast activities on some of the cable networks. They agree with what I have just said, i.e., what happened in 2011 when Barack Obama withdrew the troops, the United States military, out of Iraq. It went crazy. Sectarian violence broke out. That country of Iraq, a war-torn country already, is a total mess. Everybody fighting everybody up there. You can't do that. Look at the European Union. Hey, World War II, how long ago was that? I'm 78 years old, and that was going on when I was born. And so when they got finished with World War II, did they take all the U.S. troops out? Hello? That, no, is not their strategy. They're still there today to give some type of stability and to allow the United States to have a say. So I think it's a dangerous move to pull the troops out, even if they have to go to battle. We got to take a stand, and that's the problem anyway in what is going on in Syria, because the former president, Obama, he pulled them out, and he said, we're not, he drew a line in the sand, and then they said, we'll pass over that. So he stepped back a couple of feet, drew another line in the sand. He didn't make anything happen. And for the United States to pull their troops out, even if it means they may have a confrontation with somebody, I think that's ridiculous. You got to stay strong in Syria. With Russia and Iran and Turkey in Syria, you cannot afford to pull out the United States. They must have a part in controlling that part of the region of the world.
Yeah, and Jimmy, I mean, I personally agree with you as well. The Middle East hasn't seen stability until this administration putting some troops back on the ground and shutting down Islamic State. I think you raised a very, very good point there.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, if they don't pay attention to it, he's going to make a mistake. I hope he talks to his guys in the Pentagon who strategy-wise know what to do in that type of a situation.
Well, by precedent, I think he will, and hopefully we'll stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to that. But watch what we're saying here, a very, very critical part of the world and what's happening there in the Middle East. Now, when we come back, we're going to go right next door, step into Israel. A lot's happening there. Matter of fact, a rabbi just recently stated that he thought President Trump would be the one to rebuild the temple. Really? Wow, we're going to talk about that when we come back as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too. Where's your trust today? In Psalm 91:3, the psalmist says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, and today, Stand in the Gap Minute. As the world around us becomes unhinged and threats of war increase, most people place their trust in things that fail. As Christians, we can trust in the Lord, secure and unmovable. May I encourage you to reject the hopelessness around us? In these days of uncertainty, we can be certain. In these days of distress, we can be at peace. In these days of confusion, we can have clarity. And like the psalmist, it's a choice. Will you choose to say, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust"? Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer for our nation and our families and trust the Lord and together see what God can do? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, for the Jewish people and Israel, this spring season that we are now in is literally filled with major and significant feast days. You may not think about it, but Passover is a feast. First fruits is another, and there's many more. Well, you combine these feast days, this period of season that we're in here now, with the scheduled date for the moving of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem and the 70th anniversary of Israel that same day on May 14th. And we're witnessing history, ladies and gentlemen, history in the making and possibly and very likely prophecy in the fulfilling. Further add to this a recent announcement by a Jewish rabbi that he thinks President Trump is going to be an answer to prophetical indications of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Now, think about that. Truly, this becomes true news, not fake news. And so we're going to walk through a couple of these things here right now as we conclude this program and end it on a very high note as we talk about the significance of these days. Jimmy, let me go back with you at this point. Just lay out, if you could, for us, kind of frame, lay down the markers, if you could, of these important feast days and other ceremonial days and events that are in this 2 or 3 month March, April, May window as we're entering it, because this is pretty exciting stuff.
It is certainly exciting stuff. And you laid out the stage itself, because the backdrop is spring. During the spring, they have four of the seven feasts that Leviticus 23, God gave the Jewish people, the seven feasts that would have a historic significance, but more importantly, a prophetic significance as well. The first three spring feasts were Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. last Friday evening at sundown, Passover began. And then as soon as that day was over, at the end Saturday and the beginning of Sunday, which, of course, is the night and the day in a Jewish day, remember, so it starts at sundown and goes to the next sundown. So Sunday would begin at sundown on Saturday. So that would be the time of unleavened bread. And then, according to Leviticus 23, it was the morrow after the Sabbath, which would be Sunday, on first fruits for that third of the Jewish feast. Now, during this time at the temple, there has been reenactments. I say the temple, the location as close as they could get to the Temple Mount. It's the area there at the southern steps that lead up to the Huldah gates, where the Jewish worshipers would go up and enter the temple complex there on the Temple Mount. This is absolutely the closest. They had the largest reenactment as it relates to attendance, some 1,500 Jewish people there. The priests in all of their garb were there, their priestly garments. They performed the Passover sacrifice. They then even roasted the lamb after they had performed the sacrifice, which was the follow-up. Unleavened bread, they were eating, of course, unleavened bread. You could only take 18 minutes to make the bread on the fire that you're baking the bread over, but it was also pre-led by the fact that the women, that's where we get spring cleaning from. For the women, they had to clean up the home, get rid of all the leaven. And then at sundown on Saturday evening, they went out into the fields to gather the harvest. Now, this is called first fruits as it relates to Leviticus 23. It's the waving of the barley harvest, and they're to come to the Temple Mount area and before the Lord in the temple in the Holy of Holies to wave this altar, this offering unto the Lord. It was a great gathering of the barley harvest, and they went out through the evening and brought that. Even in this reenactment, which took place, first time I've ever seen this happen in Israel, Sam, the high priest, the one appointed by the Sanhedrin, Baruch Kahana, was there. He was in charge of the proceedings that took place, and this is a major event as they make preparations to put up the temple. Just this little caveat, remember Jesus Christ fulfilled these first three feasts. That's the prophetic significance. The Jews were being given these feasts by God to help them recognize the true Messiah. Jesus Christ was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, and resurrected on first fruit. So this is significant, what's been going on in Jerusalem.
Jimmy, in light of that, let me ask you this question. Sam alluded to it twice already, and it is an astounding statement made by Rabbi Yosef Berger, who, by the way, is the son of a widely and highly revered Hasidic leader, the guy who's in charge of King David's tomb there on Mount Zion. But here is the exact statement that Rabbi Berger said. He said, no leader, referring to President Trump, no leader in history has recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the Jews and Israel. Trump has created a great reparation for the Christians through his unprecedented relationship with Jerusalem. Trump is the representative of Edom that will perform the final historic reparation for his entire nation by building the temple. Now, Jimmy, we've got to have your comments on that. What do you think about that?
Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts, some positive, some negative. First of all, Donald Trump is not the very first one, great leader in this world throughout all of history, that has recognized Jerusalem. We'd have to go back to Cyrus some 2,500 years ago when the Babylonian Empire was taken down by the Medo-Persian Empire. Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus, who had been prophesied about, even his name mentioned in Isaiah chapters 44 and 45, that he would come to power, allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. To put in place their temple, build that temple once again. And that is the significance, by the way, of the half-silver shekel that was produced by the Sanhedrin. On the one side of the coin was a emblem of the temple that's going to be built on the Temple Mount, the next one during the tribulation period. On the other side of the coin, they had two personalities imposed there, one over the other. The first one was Cyrus, remembering what he did in Ezra chapter 1, and the other, Donald Trump. So that does bring Donald Trump to the forefront. And indeed, in December of last year, he recognized the fact that Jerusalem was the political capital. And then in February of this year, he said he's going to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Now, he's wrong about the ancient source, as a Edomite would be the one who builds the temple. It will be the Jewish people. When you go to the scriptures, you'll see that John the Revelator talking about the Jewish people and what they needed to do as it relates to the temple, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, when the Antichrist gives permission to the Jewish people to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount between the seas, the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea. That's Daniel 11, 45, a key passage of Scripture. So he was wrong on the Edomites. But there are going to be Gentiles who are going to help and do this. And very right on the leaders in history, with Donald Trump being a major player. And it is so significant that he named Jerusalem the political capital. Jerusalem, when you look at prophecy, chapter 11 is the temple in the book of Revelation. Chapter 13, the Antichrist desecrates the temple with the abomination of desolation. Then the false prophet puts up a statue of the Antichrist everybody has to worship. And, of course, when you get to chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ comes back and sets up a theocracy. Now, where does he set it up? In Jerusalem. Where was the first theocracy set up? The Garden of Eden. All of this key to what Donald Trump is doing. Will he build the temple itself? No, but he's making the way for it to be built pretty quickly now.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy and Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great place to conclude the program, which has now come to an end, because it's in Jerusalem. We're going to talk about the temple. It's where the Lord ultimately is going to reign. It's appropriate we conclude the program there today. Hopefully, we've taken the newspaper in one hand, the Bible in the other, and brought news together today in a way that you can understand and use it better. Until we meet tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, stand in the gap for truth wherever you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.